We are starting chapter 18 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince called Birthday Surprises. Mm-hmm. You like birthday surprises, don't you? Mm-hmm. You always guess surprises.
I'm so good at guessing surprises.
Really good at guessing surprises. You're naughtily good at guessing surprises. The next day, Harry confided in both Ron and Hermione the task that Dumbledore had set him. Though separately, for Hermione still refused to remain in Ron's presence
longer
than it took to give him a contemptuous look. Ron thought that Harry was unlikely to have any trouble with Slughorn at all. "He loves you," he said over breakfast, waving an airy forkful of fried egg. "Won't refuse you anything, will he? Not his little potions prince. Just hang back after class this afternoon and ask him." Hermione, however, took a gloomier view. "He must be really determined to hide what really happened, if Dumbledore couldn't get out of him," she said in a low voice, as they stood in the deserted, snowy courtyard at break. "Horcruxes. Horcruxes. I've never even heard of them." "You haven't?" Harry was disappointed. He had hoped that Hermione might have been able to give him a clue as to what Horcruxes were. "They must be some really advanced dark magic, or why would Voldemort have wanted to know about them? I think it's going to be difficult to get the information, Harry. You're going to have to be very careful about how you approach Slughorn. Think out a strategy." "Ron reckons I should just hang back after potions this afternoon." "Oh, well, if Wan thinks that, you better do it," she said, flaring up at once. "After all, when has Wan's judgment ever been faulty?" "Hermione, can't you..." "No," she said angrily, and stormed away, leaving Harry alone and ankle-deep in snow. Potions lessons were uncomfortable enough these days, seeing as Harry, Ron, and Hermione had to share a desk. Today, Hermione moved her cauldron around the table so that she was close to Ernie, and ignored both Harry and Ron. "What have you done?" Ron muttered to Harry, looking at Hermione's haughty profile. But before Harry could answer, Slughorn was calling for silence from the front of the room. Settle down, please. Quickly now, lots of work to get through this afternoon. Galpalot's third law, who can tell me? But Miss Granger can, of course. Hermione recited at top speed. Galpalot's third law states the antidote for poison, a blended poison, will be equal to more than the sum of the antidotes for each of the separate components. Precisely, beamed Slughorn. 10 points for Gryffindor. Now, if we accept Galpalot's third law as true, Harry was going to have to take Slughorn's word for it that Galpalot's third law was true because he had not understood any of it. Nobody apart from Hermione. What?
That's so easy.
I know. This is, you know.
It wasn't like anything that isn't hard.
I know. This is just J.K. Rowling trying to pretend that magic is just like science, except for the fact that it's totally not, as we can tell from Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality.
Magic.
Well, because J.K. Rowling hasn't thought it through.
No.
If she had thought it through, maybe it would. You're very cute.
Her brain just works differently.
That's true. It works to the tune of billions of dollars.
So who's the right one and who's the wrong one?
It depends on what your judgment system is.
I don't know. I wouldn't kick a bajillion dollars out of bed.
Isn't she, like, the second most richest woman in Britain?
She gave a lot of it away in a charity, just like, Bill Gates.
So. Oh, yeah. Nobody apart from Hermione seemed to be following what Slughorn said next, either. Which means, of course, that assuming we have achieved correct identification of the potion's ingredients by Scarpin's Revela spell, our primary aim is not the relatively simple one of selecting antidotes to those ingredients in and of themselves, but to find that added components that will, by an almost alchemical process, transform these disparate elements. Ron was sitting beside Harry with his mouth half open, doodling absently on his new copy of Advanced Potions Making. Ron kept forgetting he could no longer rely on Hermione to keep him out of trouble when he failed to grasp what was going on. "And so," finished Slughorn, "I want each of you to come and take one of these vials from the desk. You are to create an antidote for the poison within it before the end of the lesson. Good luck. And don't forget your protective gloves." Hermione had left her stool and was halfway through towards Slughorn's desk before the rest of the class had realized it was time to move. And by the time Harry, Ron, and Ernie returned to the table, she had already tipped the contents of her file into the cauldron and was kindling the fire underneath it. "It's a shame the prince won't be able to help you much with this, Harry," she said brightly as she straightened up. "You have to understand the principles involved this time. No shortcuts or cheats."
"Be sure."
"Yeah." Annoyed, Harry uncorked the poison he had taken from Slughorn's desk, which was a garish shade of pink, tipped it into his cauldron, and lit a fire underneath it. He did not have the faintest idea what he was supposed to do next. He glanced there at Ron, who was now standing there looking rather gormless, having copied everything Harry had done. "You sure the prince hasn't gotten any tips?" Ron muttered to Harry. Harry pulled out his trusty copy of Advanced Potion Making and turned to the chapter on antidotes. There was Gellplot's third law stated word for word, as Hermione had recited it, but not a single illuminating note in the prince's hand to explain what it meant. Apparently the prince, like Hermione, had no difficulty understanding it. "Nothing," said Harry gloomily. Hermione was now waving her wand enthusiastically over her cauldron. Unfortunately, they could not copy the spell she was doing because she was so good at nonverbal incantations that she did not need to say the words aloud. Ernie McMillian, however, was muttering Specialis Revelio over his cauldron, which sounded impressive, so Harry and Ron hastened to imitate him. It took Harry only 5 minutes to realize that his reputation as the best potion maker in the class was crashing around his ears. Slughorn had peered hopefully into his cauldron on the first circuit of the dungeon, preparing to exclaim in delight as he usually did, but instead he had withdrawn his head hastily, coughing as the smell of bad eggs overwhelmed him. Hermione's expression could not have been any smugger. She had loathed being outperformed in every potions class. She was now decanting the mysterious separated ingredient of her poison into 10 different crystal phials. More to avoid watching this irritating sight than anything else, Harry bent over the Half-Blood Prince's book and turned a few pages with unnecessary force. And there it was, scrawled right across the long list of antidotes. "Just shove a bazaar down their throats." Harry stared at these words for a moment. Hadn't he once long ago heard of bazaars? Hadn't Snape mentioned them in their first ever potions lesson? A stone taken from the stomach of a goat which will protect from most poisons. It was not an answer to the Gellplot problem, and had Snape still been their teacher, Harry would not have dared do it. This was a moment for desperate measures. He hastened toward the store cupboard and rummaged within it, pushing aside unicorn horns and tangles of dried herbs until he found, at the very back, a small cupboard which had been scribbled the word bazaars. He opened the box just as Slughorn called, "2 minutes, everyone." Inside were a half dozen shriveled browned objects, looking more like dried up kidneys than real stones. Harry seized one, put the box back in the cauldron, in the cupboard, and hurried back to his cauldron. "Time's up," called Slughorn genially. "Well, let's see how you've done. Blaze, what have you got for me?" Slowly, Slughorn moved around the room, examining the various antidotes. Nobody was finished with the task, though Hermione was trying to cram a few more ingredients into the bottle before Slughorn reached her. Ron had given up completely and was merely trying to avoid breathing in the putrid fumes issuing from his cauldron. Harry stood there waiting, the bazaar clutched in his slightly sweaty hand. Slughorn reached their table last. He sniffed Ernie's potion, passed it on to Ron with a grimace. He did not linger over Ron's cauldron, but backed away swiftly, retching slightly. "And you, Harry," he said, "what have you got to show me?" Harry held out his hand, the bazaar sitting on his palm. Slughorn looked down at it for a full 10 seconds. Harry wondered for a moment whether he was going to shout at him. Then he threw back his head and roared with laughter. "Oh, you've got nerve, boy," he boomed, taking the bazaar and holding it up so the class could see it. "Oh, you're like your mother. Well, I can't fault you. A bazaar would certainly act as an antidote for all these poisons." Hermione, who was sweaty-faced and had soot on her nose, looked livid. Her half-finished antidote, comprising 52 ingredients, including a chunk of her own hair, bubbled sluggishly behind Slughorn, who had eyes for nobody but Harry. "And you thought of bazaar all by yourself, did you, Harry?" she asked through gritted teeth. "That's the individual spirit a real potions maker needs," said Slughorn happily, before Harry could reply. Just like his mother, she had the same intuitive grasp of potion making. It's undoubtedly from Lily he gets it. Yes, Harry, if you've got a bazaar to hand, of course that would do the trick, although they don't work on everything, they're pretty rare, so it's still worth knowing how to mix antidotes.
They're actually not very rare at all.
Is that true?
Yeah.
The only person in... Go ahead.
Well, I mean, they're in a lot of different animal stomachs. It's essentially a hairball.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The only person in the room looking angrier than Hermione was Malfoy, who Harry was pleased to see had spilled something up that looked like catsick all over himself. Before either of them could express their fury that Harry had come top of the class by not doing any work, however, the bell rang. Time to pack up, said Slughorn, and an extra 10 points to Gryffindor for sheer cheek. Still chuckling, he waddled back to his desk at the front of the dungeon. Harry dawdled behind, taking an inordinate amount of time to do up his bag. Neither Ron nor Hermione wished him luck as they left. Both looked rather annoyed. At last, Harry and Slughorn were the only two left in the room. Come on now, Harry. You'll be late for your next lesson, said Slughorn affably, snapping the gold clasps shut on his dragonskin briefcase. Sir, said Harry, reminding himself irresistibly of Voldemort. I wanted to ask you something. Ask away, my dear boy, ask away. Sir, I wondered what you know about Horcruxes. Slughorn froze. His round face seemed to sink in upon itself. He licked his lips and said hoarsely, what did you say? I asked whether you know anything about Horcruxes, sir. You see, Dumbledore put you up to this, whispered Slughorn. His voice had changed completely. It was not genial anymore, but shocked, terrified. He fumbled in his breast pocket and pulled out a handkerchief, mopping his sweat brow. Dumbledore's shown you that memory. Well, hasn't he? Yes, said Harry, deciding on the spot it was best not to lie. Yes, of course, said Slughorn quietly, still dabbing at his white face. Of course. Well, if you've seen that memory, Harry, you'll know I don't know anything. Anything, he repeated the word forcefully, about Horcruxes. He seized his dragonskin briefcase, stuffed his handkerchief back into his pocket, and marched to the dungeon door. Sir, said Harry desperately, I just thought there might be a bit more to the memory. Did you? Said Slughorn. Then you were wrong, weren't you? Wrong. He bellowed the last word, and before Harry could say another word, slammed the dungeon door behind him. Neither Ron nor Hermione was at all sympathetic when Harry told them of this disastrous interview. Hermione was still seething at the way Harry had triumphed without doing the work properly. Ron was resentful Harry hadn't slipped him a bazaar, too. It would have just looked stupid if we'd both done it, said Harry irritably. Look, I had to try to soften him up so I could ask him about Voldemort, didn't I? Oh, will you get a grip, he added in exasperation, as Ron winced at the sound of the name. Irritated by his failures, and by Ron's and Hermione's questions, by attitudes, Harry brooded for the next few days over what to next do about Slughorn. He decided that, for the time being, he would let Slughorn think about that he had forgotten about Horcruxes. It was surely best to lull him to a false sense of security before returning to the attack. Maybe we should stop there. I love you, baby kitten.
I love you, too.
Sleep well, beautiful.